Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's go in our Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 10. We'll start there this morning. And, thank God we're redeemed. And thank God for His protective hand on us. We don't even know what all He's protected us from, Heaven will reveal that, A lot of things we didn't even know about, but God kept it from us. Hallelujah. This morning, I want to talk to you about this subject, about dealing with unseen forces. And you'll understand a little bit more what we're going to be talking about here as we go along. But, there's unseen forces, forces in the realm of the Spirit that we don't see, but they're just as real or more real than what we do see. And, I know the world thinks we're crazy because we believe there's a literal devil. But, brother, he's active and at work. And he has people that work for him that are active and at work. And we have to have an understanding of this. Now, you say, well, how can I believe in something that I can't see? Well, you believe in heaven, don't you? I said, you believe in heaven, don't you? Most people I know haven't been there. Amen. There's been a few, a mighty few, that have maybe had out-of-the-body experiences and went to heaven. Apostle Paul said he did. And there's been a lot of people say they did, but I don't really think they did. It's good preaching material. But anyway, all right, never mind. But I've been around this mountain a long time. And so I don't believe everybody says, but tells me about their supernatural experiences. Some I do, some I don't. But my point is, it's just as real or more real than what we see. Now, in John chapter 10, this is a familiar scripture, verse 10. I love this verse. Jesus said, the thief, how many know who that is? Cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. So that's what the devil comes to do. I am come that they might have, that's you and I, that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Now, I like this out of the Amplified Bible because it amplifies it. It says, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life, and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Now, one thing I've learned about the devil after all these years is, well, first of all, he doesn't want you to get born again. But if you do, he does not want you to live in that overflowing, abundant life. And so he will fight you to try to keep you from that. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 6:12 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against wicked spirits in the heavenly places. Well, the Bible says we wrestle against them. Then we must, or we should be. And Paul said it. Let me read this to you. And you don't need to turn there, but I want to read it to you. Ephesians 2:2, Paul said, wherein in time past, that's talking about before we were saved, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. So Paul says there is a prince of the power of the air that we live in, this natural world. And before we knew Jesus, we walked according to that prince of the power of the air. See, whatever he influenced us to do, many times we did it. And so the devil gets a hold of people's minds. And you have to understand this, that just because you're saved doesn't mean he's going to leave you alone. We're going to look at some scripture here. The Bible tells us we have to resist him. I can't resist him for you. I can't do it. As much as I'd like to, I can't. You can't resist him for me. It's up to us to resist him ourselves. Now, I could come in, I could pray with you, I could add my faith with you, I could agree with you. But ultimately, you have to do it. Amen? Now, the scripture here talks about that God wants us to have life and have it more abundantly. I don't know about you. I like the sound of that. Now, I like this fact. See, when you get born again, how many know you got something? You got life, right? You got life. But then there's something called more abundantly. See, so you can get life, but then you can get into the more abundant life. I like the more abundant life. That's where you have to be blinded spiritually not to want that. Amen? Because it's just a good life. You know what I'm saying? See, I've said this before. You know, if and I'm not going to, but if I found out tomorrow that all this was false, it wasn't, Jesus never existed, all this is false. Well, how many know that's not going to happen? But I'm just hypothetically, if I found out all this was false, none of it was true, I'd still live this way because I like it better than the way I was living. I like waking up in the mornings feeling good. I like not looking over my shoulders to see if I'm being followed. Right? I like not almost dying from drug overdoses. Someone asked me if it ever hallucinated. I said, oh, yeah, I've hallucinated. That's before I met Jesus. I said, yeah, I had the cops chasing me all the way home one night. For miles they were chasing me. Miles, I wouldn't pull over. Finally got in my driveway, you know, and they were gone. Well, that was a hallucination. I'm glad I don't have those days any longer. I'm glad I've got my faculties about me. Come on, are you with me now? See, some of you that never do, you know, someone said one time, if you remember the 60s, you weren't really there. You weren't really living it. But see, I grew up in the 60s and 70s. I grew up in a drug culture, you know. And so I'm glad I'm not in that any longer. Hallelujah. I'm living the abundant life that Jesus came to bring us. And now the devil will fight that. And I don't know how personal I'm going to get today. I don't know. I may share some things a little personal. And, you know, but we'll just see. But I just want you to know, we got to learn to deal with these unseen forces that attack our mind. You know, you can get spiritual attacks in a lot of ways. You can get your physical body attacked. You know, we all, now listen to me. Now listen to why I'm saying this now. We all face, because of the curse, because of the fall, because we still live on a cursed earth, there's sickness out there, isn't there? So we all face it. Now, ultimately, it all comes from the devil. That's where it comes from. But there are times when demonic forces actually attack your body. You understand? So you can pick up a cold, and that doesn't mean you need demons on you. It came from the devil, but it's just living in the cursed world, right? There's not a flat tire demon. Amen. But I'm just simply saying, it sometimes goes to the next level where the devil's attacking your physical body. Remember, he attacked Job, didn't he? Right? Now, I've seen people over the years that they came under attack. They're in a lot of different areas, they're under attack. And I know this is just the devil. This is the forces of darkness trying to destroy you, trying to take your faith. Amen. And so you could come under attacks of the devil in your finances, in your physical body, in your marriage, on a family member. But I tell you, the number one area he attacks is people's minds. Because if he can get your mind, he's got access to about everything. And so he'll attack your mind. And he'll tell you things that aren't true. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. See, the greatest defense you could ever have against the devil and his attacks is knowing the truth. knowing the truth about yourself in Christ, right? Knowing who you are in Christ. And so the devil will come and he'll attack you. You know, I've been experiencing some mental attacks on certain days. And finally it hit me. It's like, this is the devil. Why is it these 2 days I'm going under attack? The other days I'm fine. No, pastor's not going crazy. Well, that's up for debate, I guess. No, but I've noticed over the last few weeks, I've noticed on Wednesday I come under attack mentally, and on Saturday I come under attack mentally. And finally it hit me. Those are the 2 days I'm getting ready to preach. And I realized, this is, you know, it's like I said one time, I said, that's just the unvarnished devil. And my brother Randy said to me, let's give him a shellacking. I say, yeah, let's shellack him a little bit. But I want you to know, you know, you think, well, pastor never experienced things like, no, see, every human being on the planet, he'll attack their mind. Now, it may not just directly be him. You know, I don't think I'm so important that he directly camps at my door, but he's got people working for him. You understand what I'm saying? And I don't know, maybe times it is him. It really doesn't matter who it is. I've got authority over it in Christ Jesus. And so he'll start speaking lies to your mind to try to discourage you. Yeah. I've had him say to me on these days, well, you're probably done. You're probably through in ministry. It's probably... You probably should just step down, retire, and, you know, do something else now. God's done with you. Well, I hadn't heard that from God yet, but I've heard that voice. Now, does that shock you? No, the devil will tell you all kinds of goofy things. That's why you got to know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And the best defense you got is to fight him with the truth. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against wicked spirits in the heavenly places. Those are the order of demonic forces that Satan has. And our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but with them. Amen. And so we have to learn that, you know, those voices, those attacks, that's not the truth. And we got to stand against it. Amen. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Go there. I'm not going to preach long this morning. I've got some people to pray for, but I think this is going to help some people in this house this morning. That, you know, sometimes we can, just like I said earlier, the devil will put thoughts in your mind and then he'll blame you for it. He'll put wrong thoughts in your mind and say, aren't you a big Christian thinking that? And he put it there, right? Just like symptoms in your body. You get symptoms in your body of sickness and things. And he'll say, well, I thought you was a faith person. I thought you believed in healing. I thought your church preached on healing. And here you got sickness. And he'll start accusing you. You must not have any faith. Well, I got enough faith to get born again and get out of your kingdom. Don't tell me about faith. Come on. How many believe Job had some faith about him? He went through some things, didn't he? But he also came out with twice as much. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's what God intended all along. The devil intended to get his faith, but God intended to bless him with twice as much. Hallelujah. We used to say this years ago, if the devil starts messing, God starts blessing. Yeah. Amen. But it has something to do with us that we don't just give in to it, right? Look at this, 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 8 and 9. We're going to do some teaching here this morning on this. 1 Peter 8 and 9. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So how many know he hasn't changed his MO in all these years? When he came before, in the book of Job, when Satan came before the Lord said, what you been doing? He said, I've been walking up and down, to and fro in the earth. What was he doing? What was he doing? Seeking somebody to devour. He hadn't changed it. He come to kill, steal, and destroy. And so the Lord said, you've been checking out Job? And he said, well, you got a hedge about Job. You know? See, that's what God does. He puts a hedge about us. Well, you know, listen, the devil attacked Job, but Job came out on the other side. And he came out with twice as much. And he was already the richest man in the East. Thank you, Jesus. It's like I heard one guy say, devil, just keep messing. I'm going to get too expensive for you. Amen. Now listen now. I think it's important we understand we're dealing with these unseen forces. Now look at this. Verse 8 again. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Notice this. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. No, but all of us are experiencing attacks. And most of the times, they're mental attacks. But what I wanted you to see was the devil goes about, notice this, at verse 8, seeking whom he may devour. You know, may means that maybe he can't. You know, may is permission, right? Is asking permission. May I have this? How many of you are asking permission? And so may I have this? Well, you know what? I wrote in one of my Bibles, I don't have it any longer, it was an older Bible, I wrote in there, the devil may not devour Mark Pearl. You're not going to devour me. He's seeking whom he may devour. Well, who does he devour? Well, the Bible says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. He devours those that don't resist. That's who he devours. You don't resist him, he'll devour you. Amen. You know, Charles Capp said years ago, I remember him saying this, he's in heaven now, but we used to, he'd preach at the minister's conference. We were part of a minister's organization back in those days, and we'd, all about 50 of us would meet down at someplace in Land Between the Lakes or something like that. We'd have a minister's conference, about 50 of us, and Brother Capps would always come preach, and Brother Leon Powell. And he said, Jesus knocked out the devil's teeth at Calvary. You know, the psalmist said he breaks the teeth of the ungodly. Well, he qualifies. He said, but some Christians are so pliable and gullible, he can just gum them to death. I mean, we want to have some more backbone than that. Amen. That when those thoughts, when those attacks come, we resist them. What do we resist them? We resist them with the truth. I said the truth. Jesus said you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. You got to resist them with the truth. You know, the devil says, well, you're just this or you're just that. No, I'm not that. See, he tells people today, he says, you know, you're a man trapped in a woman's body. You're a woman trapped in a man's body. That's a lie. I said, that's a lie. I'm not being unkind or mean. That's just a lie. And somebody needs to tell people that's just a lie. Your problem is your body. Your problem is the attack of the devil against your mind. We're all fallen. People say, I was born this way. Well, you can be born again. I was born messed up too. We all were. Hey, you got no market on that. All of us were born into sin. But God can redeem you. Hallelujah. So, if we don't resist those thoughts with the truth, then the devil just takes us over. Yeah. Amen? Now, let me say something to you. Let's do this. I tell you what, let's go to Revelation. Are you getting anything? It's kind of a little disjointed here. Revelation chapter 12. Go there. I'm not going to preach much longer, really, honestly. Revelation chapter 12. But what I have to say this morning is real important to your life, because if you're just waiting on God to do something, how many know you got to, it's your move now. He's already moved when he sent Jesus at Calvary, right? See, if you're going to be born again, how many know who's going to have to move? And God will draw you by his power, but you got to take the step and get to be born again, right? And so the same thing's true with deliverance. People say, well, Pastor, I just need deliverance from this and all that. Well, maybe so. We could pray for you. But you got to take the move. You got to resist it. Yeah. Amen. You got to resist it. See? Well, man, I'm telling you, I don't like antagonizing anybody. Well, you better like antagonizing the devil, right? You know, you listen now, listen, things, people just, you know, it's like one lady said one time, she said, "I'll do what you say if it's easy." Well, most good things aren't easy, right? You got to work at it, you know. And so that we can't let that mentality get inside of us, amen? We got to do the fighting. Now look at this in Revelation chapter 12. Go with me to verse, 9. It says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan." Notice this, "which deceives the whole world." Well, how does he do that? He gets a hold of their minds. So he messes up their thinking. See, if you just read the news headlines today, you just like, man, how do people get this? How do they get this deceived? How do they get this deceived? How can you be this deceived? Amen. It's just like what the Bible said in Isaiah, that there would come a day that men would call evil good and good evil. And God said, "Whoa," when you do that, right? See, I always say this, in my day, we did evil. I'm not going to lie, we did evil. We did things that were just not good. We're not, you know, they were evil. But we knew they were evil. We knew they were evil. We didn't call it good. We just called it doing my thing. Amen. But now, they call evil good. You and I are, according to some people, you and I are the most dangerous people on the planet. And they don't know how right they are. We're very dangerous to the devil's agenda. Amen. But we're not dangerous to living a good life. Amen. See, you see that, the devil deceives people. Well, how does he deceive? But you know, it doesn't happen overnight. He starts speaking into their minds. Now, Brother Kenneth Hagin, who I've always admired his ministry, he's one person that I felt like that really kept things in balance with the message of faith and so forth. He kept it right where it was in the Bible. And you know, he had some supernatural experiences. I believed him. Well, his life proved it out. And the scriptures proved out what he said. But he said, you know, the Lord said to him, "I will show you how the devil gets a hold of people, even believers, if they will let him." Even believers, if they will let him. And he said, "I saw this lady in this vision," and he said, "I knew the lady. The lady was she had been a pastor's wife in the ministry and sang. Maybe she preached a little bit too. But she had gotten away from God, was backslid, divorced her husband, was in the bars, and had denounced Jesus, and said she never wanted anything to do with him again." So she goes from this servant of God to this person that basically is lost forever. She's blasphemed the Holy Spirit. She's not going to make it. Brother Hagin, "I saw her in this vision." He said, "Now this lady was a really good, talented singer, and said she was very good looking. She had what the world called it. The it factor." He said, "You couldn't help it. She'd walk in the room, you'd notice her. He said she just had something about her." And said she would sing, you know, in the church and, you know, work with her husband in the ministry. But he said, "I saw in this vision this evil spirit come and sat on her shoulder and began whispering to her and said, 'You know, you're very talented. You know what? You're very good looking. In the world, you could have fame and riches.' And she rebuked it. And it left. But it came back and said, 'You know what? You're very good looking. You're very talented. In the world, you could have fame and riches.' She rebuked it and it left. But it kept doing it and it kept coming back. And eventually, she got to thinking the same thing. Said, 'You know what? I am very good looking. I am very talented. In the world, I could make a lot of money.'" Brother Hagin said when he saw that, it was like a black dot got in her head. She was obsessed with that thinking now. "I'm good looking in the world." How many know that the devil's a liar? I said the devil's a liar. You can't ever have it any better than serving God. Come on, are you with me? Well, I'd just be better off over here. That's a lie. The best place you can be is in the kingdom of God. But that's like the Lord said, Brother Hagin said, the Lord said, it's still not too late. She could still resist that and got that out of her head. But she liked to think that. And eventually it got down in her heart. He said that black dot went from her head down in her heart. And when it did that, she left her husband. She went back out in the world, began singing in the bars and living an immoral life, and eventually said, I don't want anything more to do with Jesus, and now is eternally damned. You got to learn. If it didn't line up with the truth, how many know? What did Paul say? What did Paul tell us? He said, casting down imaginations. Cast down imaginations, right? The weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Cast down, pull down, bring into captivity. That's talking about some work, isn't it? That's talking about you being the tender over your mind. You remember the madman of Gadara when he was delivered? The Bible says the city came out and they saw him, and he was clothed and in his right mind. How did he get so messed up? The devil got a hold of his mind. Not overnight. See, that's what the devil does when he's trying to get you to accept his thoughts. And the only defense you have is to know the truth about yourself. Are you with me now? You know, you tell me, well, you'll never get any better. Well, that's not what the Bible says about me. Amen. Look what it says now. Let's finish reading this out. It says this, that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, and now has come salvation and strength, the kingdom of God and the power of our Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. See, that's what he is. He's an accuser. And they overcame him. Hallelujah. By the blood of the Lamb. Have no, without the blood, there's no hope. Thank God for the blood. But notice this, and by the word of their testimony. Right? See, what you got to ask, what's my testimony in this? What am I testifying? You remember when Isaiah said this about Jesus, that when they came to get him, said he was oppressed and afflicted, and he opened not his mouth. Didn't say that. The reason he didn't open his mouth is so you could. Had he opened his mouth, anything came out of his mouth would have got him delivered. But he kept his mouth shut, and the Bible said he was as a lamb dumb before the shearers. Amen. So, and a sheep before the slaughter. In other words, Jesus kept his mouth shut when he was oppressed because he was supposed to suffer for our sakes. But we're not supposed to keep our mouth shut. Amen. We're supposed to testify to what the blood's done in our life. We testify. What's the blood done in our life? Amen. We got to have a testimony. Amen. See, that's why when those thoughts come, when those attacks come, if you just want to sit there and think I'm going to be depressed, that's up to you. The devil will, you know, if you don't watch it, the devil will take over areas of your life. I'm not saying you're going to hell, but you won't be in control of areas of your life. He'll get control of them. Are there Christians that the devil's got control of part of their life? He does, absolutely. And the reason is because they're thinking wrong thoughts. They're thinking his thoughts. I am the redeemed. Hallelujah. Now, and I got to testify. See, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, right? So we have to say so. I'm redeemed. Amen. Minister talked about this one time. He said he had a guy come to him. He said, you know the guy, he said he wanted to quit smoking, you know. So he went to this pastor, or this minister. He said, can you help me? He said, well, I can if you do what I say. He said, well, if it's easy, I'll do it. That's people. And he's like, you know, he's like, I've been told a lot of things, you know, how to do this, now this. He said, no. He said, if you'll do what I say, he said you can be free. He said, all right, what do I got to do? He said, every time you go light up a cigarette, say, thank God I'm free from smoking. Well, are we free from? Maybe you want to smoke. That's your business. But are you free from smoking if you want to be? Christ hath redeemed us. It's like my pastor says, I wasn't baptized for the permission to sin. I was baptized for the remission of sin. See? So anyway, he said, just say that. He said, but I'll be smoking. He said, don't worry about it. You know? He said, well, all right. He said, about 2 weeks later, I saw the guy and he was smiling from ear to ear. He said, what happened? He said, I want to tell you. He said, I thought that was the stupidest thing I ever heard. Thank God. He said, I'd light up a cigarette and say, thank God I'm free from smoking. But he said, I'm smoking. He said, I go and buy a pack of cigarettes and say, thank God I'm free from smoking. But he said, I'm still smoking. He said, about 2 weeks after that, he said, I got to light up, ready to light up a cigarette and said, thank God I'm, because every time I'd light one up, he said, I'd say, thank God I'm free from smoking. He said, I got ready to light one up and said, thank God I'm free from smoking. He said, it rested on me. I'm free from smoking. He said, I threw it away and haven't smoked since. Amen. What happened? Well, truth will set you free. Right? You can be free of anything you want to be free of, right? Amen. But you got to say it, right? Amen. Look at this. I'm going to close. Did you get anything today? All right. I had some more I was going to say about that, but I'm not. We'll see. About testifying. But you got to testify to what the Word says, right? Amen. What did Jesus do when the devil came to him? What did he do? Now, you get out of here, devil. I'm the Son of God. Is that what he said? And you leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. You don't leave me alone, I'm going to go tell my father. He didn't do any of that, did he? What did he do? What did he do? He said, it's written. He testified to the truth, right? Where did I tell you to go? I didn't. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Go there. Go to Philippians chapter 4. You have to resist with the truth. Anybody listening now? So what do you do with unseen forces? Well, one thing you got to do is you got to deal with them with the truth. You got to know the truth. When those thoughts come, you know, just like those thoughts that the devil's attacked me with, you know, and all. What do I do? I said, well, devil, I guess you're right. You know, I am old now. You know, I guess you're right. Time to step out of the way and let some of the younger people with some new stories come in. And you know what I'm saying? It's just time to, you know. I'm sure glad you came and told me, devil. The Lord hadn't said anything to me about it. I'm glad you told me. I wouldn't know. Have you know I'm listening to the wrong person, right? Come on now. See, I'll preach this and some of you will go out that door and you'll do just exactly what I've been preaching for you not to do. You'll listen to the wrong voice. And then you want me to pray a miracle prayer over you. Slap some miracle water on you. You'll tell you I got some water from the Holy Land. It came out of the Ohio River. That look a little muddy. Well, the Jordan's kind of muddy, brother. Come on, are you with me? See, people would rather have that kind of thing. Like a guy sent me. I'm not kidding. This guy sent me this thing. He sent me this piece of sackcloth with an appeal letter. He needed some money. He was a preacher. And he told me, he said, now I wore this sackcloth praying for you, you know. And he had a picture of him kneeling down at a rock out in the field. And he had on big old sackcloth robe or something. He said, and I cut that up and I sent it to everybody on my mailing list. I thought, man, if you got 5,000 people on your mailing list, that's a big robe, brother. See, I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. And so he said to me, he said, now, you put that in your billfold and you send me an offering for either $77 or $777, or if you really want to get blessed, make it $7,777. And he said, this will bring anointing of prosperity on your billfold. Now here's what I thought. You're the guy that needs the money. Why don't you put it in your billfold? If it'll work for me, it'll work for you. How many of God doesn't use gimmicks like that? Does he bless giving? Yeah, but he doesn't use gimmicks like that. You know. Now. Where was I going? I want you to find that Philippians 4, because you've got to battle with the truth. But I'm going to show you something else. If you don't do this, you're probably not going to get free and stay free. All right? Look at Philippians chapter 4. Look with me. Verse 4.
Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now back up, chapter 3, same book, Philippians, chapter 3, verse 1. Paul said, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me is not grievous, but for you, it's safe. It's safe for me to tell you again to rejoice in the Lord. Why is that? Well, here's what I have found out. Now, I found this out over the years, that rejoicing releases an anointing on your mind. It releases, what? Just think about the word rejoice. Break it down. Break it down for me, brother. Re-joy, right? Re-fuel. What does that mean? Put more fuel in. Rejoice, put more joy in. When we rejoice, we put more joy in. Now, I don't have time to teach on this morning, but I can show you from the Bible that rejoicing, listen now, and the right kind of music will cause you to have a free mind. It'll cause you to have the joy of the Lord. And some of you need it. I can tell the way you look sometimes. You need some help. So I'm just trying to help you this morning. Everybody say, Pastor's trying to help us. That's all I'm trying to do. Rejoice. You know, listen, you read in the Old Testament, you know, Saul, he's King Saul, you know, he got away from God, got in disobedience, and the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord left him. And when the Spirit of the Lord left him, it says an evil spirit came on him. But it said when David would bring his harp out and play, Saul would be refreshed and rest, and the evil spirit would depart. There's another scripture in the Bible where the prophet Elisha, they come to him, the king Jehoshaphat and Ahab, who's an ungodly king, and they come to the prophet Elijah for the word of the Lord. They're getting ready to go in battle. And Elijah said, you know what? If it wasn't for Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't even look your way. I love these old prophets. they didn't pull no punches. They didn't. He said, I wouldn't even look at you. Right to the king's face, I wouldn't even look your way if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was a godly king. He said, but because of him, I'll tell you something. He said, you're going to have to bring me a minstrel, bring a musician. It says, when they played, the hand of the Lord came on him. He said, why do you have Jill come up when you're getting ready to minister? Because it helps me get into the spirit. God anointed it that way, right? God invented music. I'm not saying he invented all kinds. There's some I don't like. What kind? Well, I don't want to offend you. But there's stuff I don't like. I heard one country song one time. I thought, I really like that country song. You know how country songs are. It's like Ricky. How many remember Ricky Skaggs? He's a godly. He loves the Lord, you know. Well, him and Dr. Barclay are good friends. And so he was playing at the Grand Ole Opry, and he wanted Doc to come. So Doc said, well, all right, I'll come. He was in the area. I'll come. And so he was backstage with Ricky Skaggs, and Ricky Skaggs said, Doc, you know what happens if you play my records backwards? Doc said, I don't know, but I know what happens when you play them frontwards. He said, you play them backwards, you get your wife back, your dog back, and your truck back. But music has a lot to do with demons. Wrong music brings demons on the scene. Right music brings the Spirit of God on the scene. Hallelujah. We had a lady in the church at Leeson years ago, older lady. She was just a sweet lady. Her and her husband had been married for about 70 years or close to it. But she was in her late 80s, and he died. You know, he just got old and died. And she had a real hard time with it, you know. Well, naturally, you understand that. I mean, they've been married all these, now he's gone. They've been married all those years. You know, there's a big void there, you know. It's going to take a little time sometimes to get over that. And so she called Pastor Eddie. He told me, said she called me. And she said, can you come see me? And he said, well, I can't right now. I'm busy, but I'll be there as soon as I can. And he said, you know, a little time went by, and he said, she called back and said, can you come see me? He said, well, I can't right now. I'm busy. I'm in the middle of something. I'll have to catch, I'll be there as soon as I can. He said, then she called the third time. He said, when she called the third time, he said, I realized I better go right now. I better just drop everything and go. He said, when I got over there, got into her house, you know, she's 80-some years old, and at this time he was, you know, in his 30s, so this is his grandma. He went in her house, and he said that she was playing country music. And he said, you're going to have to get that off of there. You're going to have to put some praise stuff on there. Are you with me now? Come on, don't quit me yet. I'm not done. You quit me right now. We'll go to 12:30. I'm just making a point. See, she wanted to hear that doom and gloom stuff because it ministered to her. She thought it was ministering to her soul. But he said, you got to take that off there. You got to put some praise music on there. You got to get the Spirit of God coming in here. Amen. And this is exactly why when we're under these attacks, we got to learn to rejoice. That'll run it off really quick. The Bible says you got to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. And so you want to feel, how many have ever wanted to feel sorry for yourself? Jill, come on up if you would. How many ever wanted to feel sorry for yourself? Rest of you are liars. Here's the problem I found out with pity parties. Nobody comes. Nobody but you. And I'll tell you something else. The Spirit of God doesn't come to him either. He loves you, but he shows up, man, when we rejoice. Hallelujah. And so I've just learned that when those attacks come, when they come, yes, I stand, I resist it with the truth. Here's what the Bible says about me. Here's what God's Word says about me. But then I also know I need to rejoice. Because when I rejoice, joy intimidates the devil. The Apostle Paul said that to the church at Thessalonica, he said, you received the word much afflictions with joy of the Holy Ghost. Even though there was affliction, you still had joy. Joy fertilizes the word. Hallelujah. Causes it to bring forth. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.